Solomon, King Solomon. His name is easily recognized. His parents were King David and his mother was Bathsheba. He's known and remembered for his wealth that God gave to him, for the writings that he was inspired to write and left for us to enjoy. But he's remembered probably the most for the wisdom that God gave him, and remembered for being the one who had the important achievement of directing the building of the sanctuary. And today it's spoken of as Solomon's temple. If you read through the book of Kings and the book of Chronicles, you find a much similarity. In the Hebrew Bible, the books of 1st and 2nd Chronicles were not divided like we have them in our Bible. It was one book, and the word Chronicles translated just simply means events of the days. King Solomon had a dream, and the dream was where Susan was reading from a while ago out of 2 Chronicles chapter 1. In that dream, God responded to Solomon, and if you would look at verse 11, this is one of the major things that's memorable to Solomon. God said to Solomon, "Because this was in your heart, and you have not asked for riches or wealth or honor or the life of your enemies, nor have you asked for long life, but you have asked for wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may judge my people over whom I have made you king. Wisdom and knowledge are granted to you, but I will give you also riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had who were before you, nor shall any after you have the like." And it's true, everything given to Solomon was never duplicated again. He had tremendous wealth. He managed to bring silver and gold to Jerusalem. It became extremely common in his day. He owned about 12,000 horses with horsemen, had 1,400 chariots. He formed military alliances with several different international communities. And by the way, fellows, that's the reason that he had so many wives. That's what got him into a lot of trouble. He started with a unique ambition. His ambition was that God should bless him so that all the nations around Israel would know there is a mighty God in heaven. And so when he would marry a king's daughter from some international, some foreign country, it was a good idea in the beginning, he thought. But in the end, it did not turn out so well. Point being here, all of the wealth that Solomon had, God gave him. If you have your Bible there in 2 Chronicles, turn with me to chapter 9. We've been working our way through the Old Testament, you know, trying to do a sermon out of each of the books of the Old Testament. And a lot of things are repeated, especially in Kings and Chronicles. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 9 and verse 23, we have one verse here about the wisdom of Solomon. It says in 2 Chronicles 9 and verse 23, And all the kings of the earth sought the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. That is a key phrase, that God put it in his heart. He wrote over 3,000 proverbs. He wrote 1,005 songs. And we generally give him the credit for writing the books of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and Song of Songs. But he would have had nothing if God would not have given it to him. He was the third king of Israel. He remains today in our study as the wealthiest and the wisest of all the kings. The rest of the chapters in Chronicles name different kings, their accomplishments and their strength and their failures. But definitely Solomon stands out head and shoulders above all of them for his wealth and for his wisdom. A prolific writer, a poet, a builder. He had political and economic accomplishments that we don't have time to discuss today. And I asked you the question, well, so what? We have a story of a man who started with everything. Life started out good for Solomon. It was filled with expectation and hope and joy. He begged God to bless him so that he could be a blessing to everybody else. Now that's notable, isn't it? When he started, he had everything going for him. But something happened to Solomon. I have to just read you one verse here. Would you turn to Ecclesiastes? In Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 2, it says, "Vanity of vanities," says the preacher, "vanity of vanities. All is vanity. What profit has a man from all his labor in which he toils under the sun?" If you read through the book of Proverbs and you read through Ecclesiastes, you definitely come to the place where you think there must be some deep, broad meaning that God has chosen to keep these books in the Bible. At times, it appears as if they are just random sayings of a madman. And yet, we credit them to Solomon. Something happened between his early age and his older age. And I don't know exactly what age that it happened. Nobody seems to be able to give a year or an age. I can tell you that in his younger years, things went well for Solomon. He was obedient to God. He was a seeker after God's own heart. What was in his mind was a service to God. But as he grew older, all that was overshadowed, listen to me now, by running a government that was really a monarchy. He became almost like a dictator. He made slaves out of the people of the foreign nations that were there, and he used as free labor the people of Israel to manage and to run and to coordinate the affairs of the nation. He started out so good, but his life ends in tragedy. And I say to you today, we need to learn something here from Solomon. Some of you are starting out really, really good. You've made the right decisions to serve God. You are faithfully doing what you should be doing. But the lesson is, if Solomon can fall, you can fall. And certainly those of us who are older. And you know, I am past, well, we won't even go there. We probably should be more on guard than ever with our lives. If God has given you wisdom, you are accountable for what you do with it. Turn back with me, if you will, to Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 1 and verse 1. I have to honestly say to you today, I look in my own life and I know of times when God has blessed and honored and there has been direct intervention in my behalf. I know that for a fact. Listen to this in verse 1, 2 Chronicles 1 and verse 1. Now Solomon the son of David was strengthened in his kingdom. And the Lord his God was with him and exalted him exceedingly. Everything Solomon has that's memorable to us today, God gave to him. He did not attain it because of his own wisdom or his own economic ability or his own management skills. God chose Solomon, yes he did, but the mighty wisdom that he had was a gift that only could come from God. As God gives you wisdom, you are accountable for what you do with it. He has brought you to where you are so you also may bring honor to the great God of heaven. We have a purpose and a goal in life to use the wisdom that God has given to us so that other people around us, not necessarily foreign nations, most of us don't have that privilege, but we work and we live around people on a daily basis. We interact during the week with maybe hundreds of people. If you're on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, I mean, the potential for influence, it's indescribable. What you post and what you say and what you like has great influence. Lesson, if God has given you wisdom in Scripture, in a knowledge of Him, in the good things of life, you are accountable to God for the way you use that wisdom. Let's talk about wealth for a moment. I use the word if. Because sometimes wealth comes from different perspectives. I remember a quote, I preached on this once in college. Some men seek wealth. Others seek health. As for me, I will seek health, for that is wealth to me. I wish I could originate something like that. I only quote what other people come up with. If you were in Cuba today, the poorest person in our audience here would be wealthy. If you have a pair of shoes, you're wealthy. you have two or three cans of food. Now, I mentioned two or three. In your pantry, you are wealthy. You are not dependent on the government to come by, the attendant rolling a cart in the morning and throwing rolls of bread. Each family gets at least one or two rolls. You have more than you think you have by having shelter. And the Corky, I thought it was interesting you were talking about having running water there in the kitchen area. That is so common today. Dishwashers to wash dishes and microwaves to cook on and stoves that are ran by your phone. And even while you're at church, you can even set your timer on the older stove, some of them, to come on and warm up your food while you're here. If God has given you wealth, you are accountable for how you spend it. I'm kind of still hung up on this idea of supporting our kids that are in Christian education. I thought this week, if I gave the equivalent of one meal a week for a month and then translated that into a year, if I spend like $10-$12 on a meal, that's almost $50 a month. If I did that times the year, that would be about $600 a year that I could give toward Christian education. Now, I can afford to miss one meal a week. I really wouldn't have to, because I could just eat for a little less money. But as God blesses us, we are really supposed to, in return, bless other people. And God is willing to give us wisdom to figure out a way so that we can do that. There's an interesting text in Mark chapter 8. I may come back to Solomon one of these days, but as we bring our message here today to a close, in Mark chapter 8, Jesus asked a unique question. Mark chapter 8. Beginning in here with verse 34, he said, when he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. And then the question, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? That was the folly of Solomon. As we move into the books that he wrote, like Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, I want to share you some things with you about Solomon. He had so much. He was really far ahead of his day, like in scientific study. His mind was just so great and so unique. He had a curiosity about biology and zoology, and God gave it to him. And the question in verse 37 could be asked of Solomon, or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? We don't like to think about it, but most of us kind of interpret Scripture and make it fit the things that we want to do. If something's wrong and we know it's wrong and yet we want to do it, somehow the the conscience and the mind can kind of come together and it becomes justifiable. And that's really what happened to Solomon. I mean, he started out with good intentions. For instance, he married a lady. We don't have her name. I wish we had something to call her by, but she's just simply known as Pharaoh's daughter. And he married her, built her a house like she would have been comfortable in. And, oh, by the way, you've also heard of the Nebuchadnezzar's the Hanging Gardens of Ancient Babylon. The same idea overflowed, you know, here among these kings. But Pharaoh's daughter converted. She left the worship of Egypt and she began to worship the God of heaven, and she was right there beside Solomon and she was a strong supporter. And I don't really know the outcome of her life, but I know that Solomon did not remain faithful. Wouldn't it be something to study, you know, how we are accountable to each other and especially our partners for spirituality? Try to figure out, what did Solomon give in exchange for his soul? His mind moves from 2 Chronicles, where he has this dream, and in the dream, God asks him, I will give you anything you want. And Solomon says, I want wisdom so that I can be a good king. God gives it to him. Two women come, and the most talked about judgment that Solomon made happens to be of those two women, and one woman claimed that the other woman rolled over onto her dead child during the night, and the child they now have is hers. And Solomon listens, and he finally says, well, let's just cut the baby in half and give each of you half. And the real mother just backs away and says, it's okay, just give her the baby, let the child live. Solomon knew that she was the real mother. But this man, who was so close to God, so filled with an energetic desire in his heart to please God, moves from 100% conviction and action to where he's using his wisdom and his wealth to build pagan altars. He uses his money to build pagan places of worship. His influence is destroyed. His life is lost. Did he lack wisdom? Something went lacking. What did he give in exchange for his soul? I mentioned he became like a dictator and a tyrant. He abused his power. He gave up God's goodness. He gave up eternity for his own pride and his own selfishness. And again, I ask, well, so what? Well, the so what is that if Solomon can fall, we can fall. And we must be ever watchful and ever careful so we do not let it happen. Speaking about godly wisdom, in James chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and he will give it to him. Found a quote. I wish I would have written this, but I'll close here. When a burden bearer desires wisdom more than his desire is for wealth or power or fame, he will not be disappointed. Such a one will learn from the great teacher not only what to do, but how to do it in a way that will meet with God's divine approval. Caesar Augustus was a mighty ruler. One of the things that I've learned he's remembered for is how he took care of the soldiers that fought for him. After one of his military campaigns, there was one of his soldiers that was in trouble, and he was having to go to court. And the soldier sent a plea to Caesar Augustus, I need help. I'm in trouble. Well, another officer was assigned to go speak in the soldier's behalf. And when the officer got there, the soldier refused to let him be his witness. He sent word back to Caesar Augustus, I have proof that I served for you. He had shown the scars on his legs and on his back and the cuts on his arms where he had given himself in battle for Caesar Augustus. And he made a final appeal. He says, Oh, Caesar, please come and represent me yourself because I represented you myself in battle. It touched the heart of that pagan king. And guess what he did? He went himself to represent the cause of his soldier who had fought for him. That's not kinda, but that is what God has done for us. He's come to represent us as our Savior. He wants to be the one representing us in defense of righteousness and goodness. I want you to join me today in choosing to let Him do that. I want at last somebody to say, I've fought a good fight and I've kept the faith, and so there's laid up for me a great crown of righteousness. Don't be like Solomon in his later life. Be like Solomon in his early life, and God will give you wisdom, and God will give you wealth. It's found in the personage of Jesus Christ.